Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to season three. Wow, season three. I just can't, you know, even by saying it, I'm flabbergasted. I enjoy that word quite a bit. I say it all the time. I guess I learned a new word. But anyways, today I have the pleasure. I contacted a podcast that I was listening to, and I was like, man, this is cool. This is awesome. So I brought him along. I sent a message. I pray over it. I asked him to pray over it, and now he's here. So why don't you introduce yourself?
Well, my name is Avon Price. I'm one of the hosts from, like you said, the podcast, the Paradigm Switch podcast. And I'm out here in the DMV. And those who don't know, that's the DC, Maryland, Virginia metropolitan area. So I believe we're on the whole other side of the United States from where you're from. And I'm just a fellow believer in Christ. And I just enjoy talking about God's word and elaborating knowledge and just getting a deeper understanding of things.
Amen. That's what it's about, right? It's a good reminder. So, brother, yes. Once again, thank you for taking this opportunity and this time away from, you know, your ministry, away from your family, away from your friends, to just sit with us and you know, chat a little bit about
thanks for inviting me.
Oh, my pleasure, man. I'm glad you accepted. Like I said, I enjoy your podcast. You have a great theme, and I can't wait to see what the Holy Spirit has in store for all of us.
Yes, thank you.
So as every other interview and the ones you heard, you know, we discuss a verse. I truly, truly love this verse, because every time I ask, what does it mean to you? How does it call to you? I just find some new wisdom that, you know, I wasn't aware of or I had forgotten. So I'll read it to you, and you just tell me what's in your heart about it. What do you understand, and how do you live it?
Okay.
This is from Philippians 2:12, and it reads, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." What do you think of that? What do you get from that?
Well, the first part, when I hear that scripture, that I think about is your salvation. And that lets me know that it's my personal responsibility. For the audience to know, you know, I was raised in a pastoral home. So my father's a pastor, my mom is in ministry. And so I grew up in a very, I wouldn't so much say strict Christian household, but I grew up in a household where my parents were the church leaders. And so they let me and my siblings know that your salvation is your responsibility. So I am very adamant in sharing with fellow believers, you have to take the personal responsibility to keep digging in the Word of God, keep digging into the spiritual matters to grow spiritually. One of the things about me is I'm a Muay Thai fighter. You know, I'm a Muay Thai fighter. And so the thing that my coach always says is, you know, I can only help you so much, but until you take that personal responsibility to do the extra work of doing cardio on your own, or, you know, lifting weights on your own, or hitting the bags on your own, don't depend on me to always do it for you. So the same thing goes in the church realm when dealing with your spiritual man. You need to take responsibility for your own growth spiritually and not 100% depend on the preacher, the pastor, to feed you everything. Take those extra moments of praying by yourself at home, eating on the Word of God, you know, while you're at the house, while you're driving to work, while you're doing other things, just taking that personal responsibility of your own salvation. That's the main point that hits me when I hear that scripture. It's your salvation.
Yeah, and that's what we were discussing a little bit earlier, right? About that personal relationship with Jesus. Even mm-hmm. though we all have one, it's always individual and personalized to who we are, right? Where he met us as well. So, yeah, man, thank you for that. That's pretty cool. I enjoy that. It's a good point. Hopefully someone out there needs to hear that, and they got it.
Yeah, you know, being in the church leadership, you know, from seeing my parents in ministry, a lot of people, I don't want to judge, but, you know, I've seen a lot of church people want to come and just expect the pastor to teach them everything. The pastor can only do so much. You know, imagine, you know, 100 or even more members coming up to you asking to feed you everything every day. You have to take that personal responsibility yourself in helping in your own growth spiritually.
Yeah, you can't live the pastor's faith, right? You get disappointed. Yeah, exactly. You know, that's why a lot of people leave the church, because they get disappointed, where they're like, well, I didn't know they were like that, you know? Like when they fall, yeah. They have a mistake, they're like, oh, so disappointed with the church. I was like, you're not disappointed with the church. You're disappointed with one person, and that's mm-hmm. the problem. You're basing your faith on that person, not the person, you know, which is Jesus. So, hey, man, what a great reminder there.
Thank you.
Let's get to know you a little bit. You know, we're going to ask you a few questions, and you answer as much as you like, as little as you like.
Okay.
Tell us, you know, something about you. I know you told us your name, but tell us, where do you work, if you're married, if you have kids, and what church do you attend to?
Okay, you might have to cut me off because I could just keep going. So,
no problem. We got 48 hours of recording tapes, so we'll break this down into a trilogy series. You know, we'll do, you know, prequels, whatever it takes, bro. Don't worry, buddy.
All right, cool. So like I said, my name is Avon Price. I live out here in the D.C. metropolitan area. I'm not married currently. No kids at the moment. I have an older brother and two younger siblings, a brother and a sister. Both of my parents are thankfully alive. And like I said earlier, I was raised as a pastor's kid, you know, in the church. Our church is called Living Epistle. And so I'm heavily involved in the church. I always say the easier question for me is to ask, what part of ministry am I not involved in? I have been involved as the usher. I know how to play the organ, piano. I'm actually technically a deacon in the church. I help in, you know, setting up equipment, breaking things down. I help in the audiovisual realm for our church. And yeah, I just truly love Christ, and I love my relationship with Christ. And the way I show affection or show my love for Christ is just working and showing my signs of love by my labors of love, of just working hard in the church and everything. A little bit about myself, of where I work. I can't technically say the company of where I work, but I'm employed, and I work for a national television station that's within the area. I work as the media, work in the media management process of making sure it's assessed properly, quality control before it hits air. I've currently been working there for a couple months now, and I thoroughly enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. I mean, I get paid to watch TV and make sure it's okay. And outside of that, I love eating. I love hanging out with my friends, playing video games, and I'm a heavy reader. I love reading Christian fiction books. One of my favorite readers is Mary Alack, and other writers like Frank Peretti, Brian Godawa, and just reading other Christian theological books, because I love soaking in knowledge and just, you know, gaining more knowledge, gaining more wisdom, and learning how to apply that more. So I'm a heavy reader, and just, you know, just a normal young 28-year-old living life of just being adventurous. So that's pretty much me in a nutshell. And like I said earlier, I'm really into Muay Thai and taking care of myself physically. I like to go on long walks because of the current climate with the coronavirus. I kind of tame things down in the gym just to be cautious for my family. But I'm very adamant about eating healthy, eating clean, a lot of vegetables, a lot of lean meats and all that kind of stuff. So that's pretty much me in a nutshell.
No, that's pretty good, man. I'm glad you didn't say the name of the company, because we're about to type in some resumes to send them over there. Because if they're paying you to watch TV, man, I want that job too. I think I'm a professional at it.
Well, you know, that's how they enticed me to get it at first. But then once I got in, they were like, oh yeah, that's like 10% of your job. This other 90%, we need you to focusing on that. That's like a good 10%. I'm not even getting to do that as much. But I work the overnight shift, so I kind of get the grunt work that the people during the day don't want to do. But it's all good. I'm just thankful to God that I have a job, and that's all I care about.
Hey, man. Yeah, you get the infomercials, right?
Yeah.
Those late night
infomercials. Long infomercials.
When would you say that your personal relationship with Jesus began? When can you talk about that? Can you tell us?
Yeah. Mine's a little bit, I guess, not the norm when I talk to my other friends, but I technically got saved when I was 5 years old. My parents did the whole come to Christ prayer with me at 5 years old. You know, I asked the question, how does somebody get to heaven? And, you know, I accepted Christ in my life, but when it became a serious walk was around the age of 14. I just remember I heard someone's testimony that they actually visited heaven and they saw visions of heaven. And it just really stirred up a craving in me to want to know more about Christ and make sure I get in. And so at the age of 14, I started reading the Bible on my own. I started like listening to messages on my own from outside speakers like Joyce Meyer, Jesse Duplantis, Andrew Womack. Like as a 14-year-old kid listening to sermons, I mean, you don't hear that all the time. So I was this soaking in God's word and just soaking in just a bunch of knowledge. And that's always been my pattern since the age of 14. And here I am, 28 now. And that's still my pattern of just getting up, reading the Bible, and just soaking in the word as long as I can. And then throughout my day, just listening to messages, listening to sermons, listening to podcasts that just encourage me to keep moving forward. And then, like I mentioned earlier, I'm a heavy book reader. So even the books I read are all about Christ. It's all about living the life. So everything I do is soaking in the word one way or another. So it's been that continual pattern since the age of 14. And it has been a roller coaster. I've had some ups and I've had some downs, but the thing that I give God glory about is that I have been able to, through his grace, stay on the ride and not give up. So that's pretty much my journey of walking with the Lord. It started when I was 14 years old, you know, getting filled with the Spirit and just learning how to operate in obeying that Holy Ghost voice that I would hear inside my heart and moving forward in every step.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. That's so cool. We all have a different journey, right? And it's highlighted since the beginning, you know, by Jesus choosing his own disciples. They came from different walks. And that's why I tell people, it's like, don't get discouraged because someone was rescued early on. You know, it's okay. I mean, I was rescued 5 years ago, something like that. I used to have this bad feeling like, oh man, look at, you know, all these years, a waste of time. But then all of a sudden I start using things who I was before I was saved. Mm-hmm. You know, being able to testify to someone that went through the same things that I went through and tell them, hey, you know, surrender. It's going to get better, you know. There's someone there that loves you, and that's just what it is. You know, we relate to those kind of testimonies. So that's what I enjoy about this podcast. I get to hear it all, and it's so cool, man, that you had that opportunity since you were 5 years old. And, you know, it just pushes us parents and, you know, hopefully someone out there that's, you know, trying to pull that trigger to start talking to your kids at an early age, about at any age, you know, even in the belly of the bride, you know, start telling them who Jesus is and what he came to do. Why not? You know, it's might as well get them started. You know, the story doesn't have to end with us coming in late. It can begin with someone coming in early.
You mentioned saying, you know, you didn't come to Christ until a couple years ago. You shouldn't feel guilty about that. You know, the family I was put in, or whoever's listening, the family that you're put in, the situation that you were put in, you know, that's going, if you surrender to Christ whenever, that's all a part of God's purpose. And God can use wherever you're at, whenever you come to Christ, for something good. So, you know, I was blessed that I was raised in it. Correct. But thank God that, you know, God still came to you at the moment in your life, and it still worked out for your good, and it's going to help for the betterment of the purpose that God has called you to. So whether you come to Christ at 5, 50, 15, it's all going to work out for good.
Hey, man, he meets you right where you need him, right?
Exactly.
So I love that, man. I love hearing these stories because it's just, you know, puts back those Duracell batteries in me, and I'm like, all right, let's push forward. You know, let's get into a little bit of, you know, some people call them disciplines, routines, but let's just talk about what a day looks like for you. How do you make sure that Jesus is your day, a part of, you know, not, I don't want to say a part of your day, because that's what I'm working on. You know, every day to make sure that everything I do is to glorify him.
So I was going to say, mine's a little flipped upside down, and like I said, because I work overnight, so my time is a little flipped down from the average person, because when most people are sleeping, I'm logging in for work. But especially during this coronavirus time, I'm a kind of person that's type A, so I'm very schedule based. Like everything is on a schedule, like 9 to 10 I do this, 11 to 12 I do this. But because of things that have gone on this year in 2020, it's kind of flipped my schedule, and I've had to readjust. So my schedule now has been, when I wake up, usually after I get off work at 6 a.m, I go to bed and I wake up around 11:30 a.m, sometimes noon. And right away, I pray. And I think it's important to pray to start your day, because you're asking God that you don't know what's going to happen in this day. And so you're asking God for the wisdom, the knowledge, the leading, the guidance, all that stuff, the protection, that whatever's going to happen today, that he supplies the need to help you get through it, and that your spiritual ears are open to receive whatever message he's going to send to you to prepare you for that day. And alongside, after my prayer, I like to read some, I like to read scriptures in the Bible. I read a couple verses in the Old Testament, and then I read a couple verses in the New Testament, you know, continuing on. And then I focus on an area that I'm struggling with at the moment. Just like physically, you know, you might have a little weakness in your legs or in your shoulders, and, you know, it's getting a little weak, so you have to concentrate a little bit more in that area to build it up. Same way happens spiritually. I know for me, I was going through a time period of being frustrated and angry, and you could even say jealous, of different people that are around me, because I was frustrated of different circumstances that were happening in my life and feeling frustrated that God wasn't there. And so I concentrated on scriptures and stories of people who went through that same situation, but the encouragement of knowing that God will get you through that if you hang in there. So that weakness, if that's my weakness for the day or how I'm feeling lately, I concentrate on that to combat that issue so that my spirit man grows bigger and bigger to confront those issues or those problems that I'm facing with at the moment. So usually, you know, this whole study time is about maybe an hour and a half and stuff. I don't put a timer on my time with God. You know, just like with my friends, or if I'm in a relationship, I wouldn't want to put a timer like you only get 15 minutes or you get an hour. You know, I just go with the flow and just let it flow naturally. You know, obviously, if I have something going on, I have to adjust, but I just like to let it flow naturally, you know, and just enjoy the time with God. And just throughout my day, whatever I encounter, I pray at that moment. If something tough comes up, I go, oh, Lord Jesus, I need help on handling this situation. Give me wisdom or stuff. Or if some temptation rises later on in the day, I find a scripture that's going to reset my mind to focus on how I'm supposed to handle this temptation. And just going throughout every day with God. And I think that's the important thing of realizing, like the scripture you brought up, working out your salvation every day, working with Christ to just have a good relationship with him, and just every day conquering different battles and just having a partnership in your everyday life. Jesus isn't only boxed in for Sundays or Bible studies on Wednesdays. He is for every single day of your life that you're walking with him, getting to know him and learning how to be a better person that God would approve of. And so just every moment I'm looking to make sure I'm paying attention to God's voice leading me and guiding me in everything that I do. So just taking that, just looking to him. And then how I usually end the day, asking myself, like, did I accomplish everything I needed to do for the day? You know what I'm saying? Like, did I miss something? Or, you know, how was this day? Did I do it to glorify God? Did I move one step closer to my purpose? You know, I'm always cognizant of that, of, you know, am I making sure that I'm staying on the right path? And usually I like to listen to Christian music as I fall asleep, so I have something positive running in my ear. You know, as I fall asleep, you know, make sure my mind is focusing on God as I go to sleep. And then I just repeat the process all over again. I think about God when I wake up, and I think about God as I fall asleep.
And it's not that hard, right?
Yeah.
It's awesome, because you touched on so many cool points. You know, there is many, many examples of victories in him, mm-hmm, by scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the greatest weapons, you know, people
is looking to the Bible. That's our help. You know, when you're going through jealousy, or you're going through an unforgiveness moment where you're mad at a coworker, mad at a friend or family member, you turn to the Bible to get advice how to handle that situation, and not look to, you know, kind of worldly secular advice, because that's enmity between God. You need to focus on what the word says on how to handle that situation. That's what I look to.
Yeah, and that's biblical counseling in itself. You know, mm-hmm, saying, hey, how do I react to this? Oh, I'm supposed to forgive him 7 times 7? Times 7, yeah. Times 7? and then add another seven to the seventh power. You know, you're like, really? But he crossed me. Yep. But you got to forgive him. And
exactly.
And there's a victory in that, including like you touched this point where, you know, temptation, you know, there's some temptations that we just can't overcome by in our own, by our own. And you can read a verse and you're like, oh, I can do this. You know, I can definitely beat this. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit speaking through the scripture and Jesus being there for you. So thank you for that reminder. It's so cool, especially right now. You know, I tell everybody that wants to listen to me, I say, listen, there is a wave that's already here, but there's a greater wave of issues, mental issues and social issues coming up. Greater than what we've seen, especially with all this insecurity of having to stay at home, kids having to stay at home. You know, we had an instance here in California where over Zoom in an actual class, a kid shot himself. You think of that, and you know, I have kids that are doing that. You know, I try to, you know, thanks to the work that God has given me and the ministry that He's put me on, I'm able to be more around than anybody else, right? Than your regular person, not anybody else, than your regular person. But even with that, my kids hurt. You know, sometimes I see them depressed. It's hard on them. So it's just, how do we help them? You know, and scripture is there. So we have scripture's to be fortified.
There. Yeah, and you know, I go through that too, just speaking on things happened in 2020, this kind of isolation period. You know, I work from home. And then, you know, I'm home all the time. And I was a person when, quote unquote, things were normal, I was on the go all the time. One of the reasons why I always said I stayed with my parents is because I'm never home. And so I just come here to squat and sleep and then I'm out. And so what I do to make sure I keep myself socialized and connected with people, I have a brother and sister to reach out to and say, you know, I'm really feeling lonely. I'm really feeling depressed. And I think it's important that believers more than ever start building those relationships with one another, that we encourage ourselves. That's why the Bible would say, you know, don't forsake your, you know, the assemblings of ourselves with one another in God's house. You know, some of us in different areas can't come physically to a building, but you can still reach out to your fellow brother and sister and still have that relationship with one another, you know, via a call, via text, just to have a lifeline between each other.
Yeah, it's important. Even just text message, that that helps. I like, you know, I have a self-diagnosed depression, but it may be just me, my isolation. But when I start feeling like that, I reach out to a brother. I just text them. And even just texting somebody, even though if they don't reply, I'm like, okay, at least I reached out to somebody. You know, I don't have any suicidal thoughts or anything like that. But to me, it's like, I need to have that connection with someone. I need to speak to someone daily. I need to have a conversation, because if not, the enemy comes and grabs onto that, you know? So it's not just mainly me. It's the enemy utilizing those methods that's in us to say, now you're mine. You know, no, look at you. You're not worthy. You should be doing something else. You should be looking at something else, you know? What are you doing? So, yeah, it's...
Well, good for you for admitting that you need the help. Because some Christians don't feel comfortable saying, I have a problem. You know, they feel as though because you're a Christian, they need to be 100% perfect, which isn't true. It's okay to have a problem. And it's okay not to be perfect. Reach out.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's my heart. You know, that's, you know, I'm studying to be a biblical counselor, and that's what I tell my wife. My heart is, you know, to be there for the youth and whoever wants to, you know, help be helped, and I'll guide them back to His arms, you know, because it's coming, man. I'm telling you, it's going to be a really bad situation, and the enemy's going to grab onto that, and we just got to suit up with the armor of God, right? And put up that fight.
Exactly. Amen.
This next question, I'm going to change it up a little bit.
Okay.
I've changed it up for a few episodes, and I loved the way it was answered. So if you had a brand new person that's just learning about Jesus, how would you explain your passion and your love for scripture to them?
Oh, man, that's kind of, I got to think about that one. I'm going to ask you to repeat it, and as you're repeating it, I'm going to be thinking it.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Repeat the question, please.
We have a, you know, let's say I bring you in a person that wants to know about Jesus. You know, never heard of him, never heard of scripture, never heard of the Bible. How do you explain your passion and your love for scripture? What drives you to read it, to live it, to breathe it, to consume it?
Okay, I think this goes, okay, there's a scripture, and I'm forgetting where it's at, but I know it's in the Bible, and it says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And so I would describe my drive for learning the word of God as a protection for myself. As I spoke about in the beginning, that it's our salvation that we need to take responsibility for. The Bible says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge, not for X, Y, and Z, not for the devil necessarily, but the lack of knowledge. And so the inverse of that scripture is my people prosper, or my people grow or win based on an abundance of knowledge. And so if you want to win in this Christian fight, you're going to have to, with all diligence, seek out to understand the Bible and seek out to gain the knowledge of the Word of God. Because when you renew your mind, you're going to see things the way God sees, and you're going to change the way you act, change the way you are. In order to be that new creature in Christ, you have to first think differently. So it's important to renew your mind for your own self. You know, if you, you know, this is your protection against you. If you want to win over the enemy, win over these problems in life, you have to renew your mind and seek it with 100% diligence. It's going to be hard, because I know there were some days, or, you know, I still have it, where some days where I feel like giving up and it feels as though things aren't working. But the passion I have for my, you know, keep going forward is the diligence of, I'm doing this for myself, and there's no other side to go to. It's either Christ or I'm going to perish. And so I'm very adamant to just say, I'm going to keep moving forward. You know, even with tears in my eyes, I'm going to keep moving forward. And then my own personality is, I'm just a very faithful, diligent person. It's hard for me to quit. Like I said, I'm a fighter. You know, I do that as a sport. So I'm not quitting unless I'm like fully knocked down in the ring. So, but that same drive I use in my pursuit of God is that it's a fight, and I'm going to keep pushing forward because I'm doing it for myself. I'm doing it to protect me. And then from that, I'll be able to reach out and protect my family and friends. So it's a way to protect me, because like the scripture says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge, and I don't want to lack knowledge and perish. So I want to gain that knowledge so I can win.
Hey man, and we have a little storm going on here. So if you hear any drops, it's because it's pouring over here.
And oh, I don't hear anything. You're no, good.
Awesome. Because in San Diego, I mean, if you probably, yeah, it's kind of weird because I'm in San Diego, California, but, you know, closely I'm in Vista, but in the San Diego County. And when it rains here, it's like, it's hell breaks loose, you know, because we don't get these kind of storms, you know. It's kind of funny. Uh-huh. So I'm looking here and I'm watching the cars, and you know, I'm like, drive a little faster. It's fine. It's just water. But anyways, a little side note, you know, talking about, you know, scripture and verses and stuff. Is there a life verse that you have or a verse that you just go to all the times? And if it is, why? And what's your understanding of that?
I'm not good in repeating it verbatim, but it's in Deuteronomy 8. And what this scripture is talking about is God is directing Moses to kind of explain things of why the children of Israel have gone kind of through the things they've gone through. And in these couple verses, you know, he's saying, you know, I've let you go through, you know, wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. I've let you go through hunger. You've experienced these things that you would consider bad. You've gone through these things. And then that scripture comes up that says, I did these things because I want you to know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from my mouth. And so what that scripture speaks to me is, even though I'm having circumstantial problems on the outside and in the physical, I need to always maintain my vision and my faith in what God says, that God's word is the final authority for whatever comes up. And even in those scriptures with the children of Israel, yes, they've gone through problems of wandering in the wilderness. And he even said, you went through all those problems, but I protected you every step of the way. You always had food to eat. Your clothes were put together well. Your shoes never wore out. I protected you every step of the way. And the reason why that scripture speaks highly to me, because I was in a situation for about close to 6 years where I was really seeking God for a new job, because the job I was at was very hostile. I had a boss that I couldn't get along with. No matter what I did and tried to fix it, she would always kind of undermine me and kind of come against me, and some coworkers did too. And it lasted for a really long time, and I was really asking God, you know, I really want a new job. I feel like I can do better. I feel like I can grow and all these kind of things. But God kept me there. God kept me there for a good while. And just one day when I was praying, God laid this scripture on my heart. that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds by the mouth of God. My strength to function every day doesn't come from things going right in the physical realm. It comes from me taking in God's word and believing what he says, that that is my strength to keep moving forward no matter what. So that script, those couple scriptures in Deuteronomy 8, I still go to every now and then when I feel those feelings of I'm not where I should be, or, you know, things aren't going the way I would like it to go. So who's ever out there who feels those same kind of frustrations in life, I encourage them to look into those scriptures of Deuteronomy 8 and seeing what God is speaking to the children of Israel, that your source for life doesn't come from X, Y, and Z, but it comes from the word of God.
And that's going to be a big amen to that. Yeah, because I was in a not so similar situation, but in a similar situation where I wasn't really happy at my job. And, you know, I was performing, you know, once you become unhappy, you start, you know, performing poorly, you know, in my case. So I told God, I was like, well, what's going to happen? And I said, well, I'm just going to fix up. You know, I'm not going to just do that. You know, I'm better than that. I was created for better than that. You know, you gave me a better word than that. I should be better than that. So I started fixing it. And all of a sudden, the opportunity to have a nonprofit and a ministry comes in, you know, and that was pretty cool, you know, because you can, you know, you endure certain things, and then, like yourself, you know, you endure that time, and then God puts you in a better job where you're performing at your max and you're glorifying him daily and you're being a beacon of light, you know, at that company. So sometimes it's just, you know, we have to remain, you know, be obedient, you know. I heard the pastor this weekend say through scripture, you know, that it's not about the sacrifice, it's about the obedience. You can sacrifice everything you want, but if you're not obedient, it doesn't matter. You know, it's your hearer and your doer part, you know? So the obedience is the doing, you know? The hearer is a sacrifice. It's like, please be a doer, you know? Be obedient to what he's telling you to do, so.
You know, when you were going over that, I was thinking one of the guests you previously had from Riverside Church, I believe, and he talked about dying to self. Yeah. And that's one of the things I learned from being at that job, is how to die to self. Because, you know, I learned, I'm not gonna go into it, that'd be a whole other interview, but just learning how to die to self and wait on God to bring the victory I want in my life. So just dying to selfishness, dying to anger, frustration, all those different things I learned at that job. And like you said, you experienced at your previous jobs, or what you've gone through, just standing on the fact that God's gonna bring you through and letting God fix the situation.
Man, yeah, that I love that interview, because actually that's my mentor. That was the first when I started the podcast, as the first person I went to. I'm like, how about you, the first one? And he's like, yeah, anything I tell him, he's like, he's the greatest man ever, you know, besides, you know, of course, Jesus. But he's an amazing level, an amazing brother in Christ. And, you know, so I'm glad you reminded him. I got to call him later on today and check on him. That's so cool.
All right. Someone said hello, and I appreciate it.
Hey, we'll do, man. I'm telling you, you know, if we ever meet up, I'll have you meet him. He's an amazing man. You know, he's always telling me. That's the first thing. When I call him and tell him, hey, look what I did. And he's like, did you die to self? I'm like, no, I did not. He's like, all right, cool. Well, call me when you do, and then we'll go through it again. And I'm like, oh, man, really? But, you know, that's accountability, right? That's brotherhood. Mm-hmm. So if you're not ready for that, I tell my friends, I was like, if you're going to come into Christianity and you're not ready to be held and hold someone accountable, I don't know where you're going to be, brother, because you're not going to grow. You know?
Yeah, my co-host is that for me. My co-host, I mean, we both said some harsh things to each other, but it was out of love to keep them on the straight and narrow.
Yeah, sometimes you know, I had those moments where someone's telling me, like, hey, you're screwing up. And I'm like, no. And he's like, yep. And then, you know, God reveals it to you. Yeah, you were. So,
yeah,
you know, you go back and that, but that's a friendship, you know. I've never lost a friendship over him. Of things that he's told me that, you know, they were the truth and they were biblical. And that's what I tell people. It's like, please be ready to be a friend, not just to have friends. Be ready to be a friend. Be ready to be a Christian and be a Christian. You know, be there for one another. What is one area that you're looking to surrender, and why, and what are you working on, or something you've been working on?
I'm still working on, I guess it came to my attention that I would say have to make sure I don't have jealous feelings. I tend to compare my life a little bit too much to other people around me, which isn't biblical. And I think of Peter in the Bible, you know, when Jesus, you know, was telling Peter, you know, feed my sheep and, you know, do you love me? It kind of hinting to the kind of depth that he would have. And then Peter looked over to John and said, well, what about him? Sadly, I would say in that story, I'm Peter always asking, well, what about them? What about them? Why aren't they going through that same thing? And I'm hoping that in this next year, I can surrender that a little bit more and stop comparing myself and comparing my life to other people. One of the things that has been helping me is to, with that area, is to learn that God has an individual plan for me. And I need to trust God's individual plan for me, even though my plan, even though the plan that God has for me might be harder in comparison to other people. And that's okay. And because the purpose that God has for me, I'll find my fulfillment in my purpose and my plan that God has designed for me, not trying to go after and fall behind other people or comparing to other people. And so if I have to go through something hard or easy, that's between me and God, because that's my plan. I don't need to look to the left. I don't need to look to the right. That's none of my business. I just need to stay focused on the plan that God has for me. So that's one area I'm hoping in this new upcoming year that I can surrender a little bit more and not getting frustrated when I see other people taking what I would deem easier paths. And it's harder, especially for those who have siblings like I do. You know, if you have siblings, you're already used to the comparing game. Why do they get ice cream over me? Why do I get a cookie? So you're kind of used to that kind of comparison, but it's not about that. And actually, I was just reading the story of Joseph in the Bible. You know, his brothers were jealous that he had to eat what seemed like the easier route and then sold him into slavery. But slavery wasn't the easier route. I bet the brothers, if they had to pick a plan, they wouldn't have picked slavery, but it was for the purpose of saving other people. So for those out there listening who might feel as though their road or their walk is a little harder than other people, don't get jealous. Stay on that road, because just like Joseph, he went through a lot of trials. I mean, he went through jail, he went through being in slavery, but it was all for the purpose to save other people in the end. He saved his family and other generations down the line. So it was for a purpose. So just hang in there. And that story encourages me in overcoming my struggles or my weakness, you would say.
Yeah, thank you for sharing, man. That's it's quite deep. And yeah, it's, again, good reminders for all of us. You know, hopefully someone out there's, you know, on that brink where that's what they needed to hear to continue to, you know, put up a good fight. You know, mm-hmm. So it was just so cool. You know, going back to community, I know we touched on a few times, but tell us more about how important that is to you. Why do you think that that's a necessary part of a Christian life? And, you know, calling others, praying for others, like being around others, men, you know, especially men. I was telling my wife, I was like, you need a group of women that you can go tell all the stupidities that I do and, you know, lay all that out to them, because, you know, mm-hmm. there's things you won't tell me and there's things I won't tell you. But, you know, you need that group of women ready to fight for you, pray for you. So how important that is for you, and how can you tell the audience that they should seek that?
Well, I know it's important based on scripture, based on the fact that it says, you know, don't forsake assembling, you know, yourselves with the brethren and the other scriptures that promote it. But I will admit, it's something I do struggle with, you know, being a part of the community. Being raised as a pastor kid, you're already ostracized because some people don't want to associate with you because they feel as though if they reveal themselves, you'll snitch on the pastor, or, you know, you'll judge them, or vice versa. If you let them into your bosom, some people use you to manipulate to get closer to the pastor and all that kind of stuff. So kind of as a pastor kid, you're kind of already guarded. But as I've gotten older and learning more about the Bible, I'm slowly breaking down those walls to lean on the other Christian friends that God has placed in my life. My co-host that I have and my good friend I've known for over 10 years, I'm slowly reaching out more to say, yo, I'm struggling with this, can we pray about it, keep me in your prayers, you know, and just being more vulnerable. I think that's what scares people in being in a community, is that you have to be vulnerable and saying, like, I'm not perfect and I need help and admitting that. So I'm struggling in that area too. So maybe some people in the audience are struggling with it, but it is important because I have seen for myself, how I've been encouraged more and I've quote unquote recovered from fighting with the enemy faster when I have reached out for help and asked for support better. And the Bible says, you know, the devil roams around like a roaring lion. And if you know anything about predators, you know, you see how they always get the one who's always isolated from the group. That's the easy prey. So you want to make sure you're not isolating yourself to become easy prey to the enemy. You want to be collective in a group because we're all stronger together. And especially with these upcoming years that of uncertainty that's coming up, we need to make sure as Christians we're staying united to whatever might come our way.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's, you know, the enemy pounces on those who are, you know, walking around like, hey, look at the flowers.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, you know, we got to get them, you know, we got to get them back in the group. And, you know, I consider myself blessed in that area because I've always knew about mentors. And, you know, since I was a kid, you know, I was around people that wanted to pour on me. I just didn't let them or I rejected them. But as I grew older and, you know, I started a company and I was able to receive that wisdom. And one day a guy told me, he's like, hey, do you know the reason why your company is not growing is because you're not listening. Your work is good, but you're not listening. You're not paying attention to the small details. And I said, well, are you willing to teach me? And he's like, yeah. So I was able to grow my company. And when it came to Christ, that was one of my prayers. I said, look, I know I can't do it on my own. I know that I'll leave you if I'm by myself. And I was blessed with a client of mine that was a Christian. And I didn't know he was a Christian, but he behaved like a Christian. I knew there was something different about him. And he brings me into a group of men. And from that, I was like, man, this is it. You know, and it was easier for me because I grew up with that to be transparent. You know, but I was only transparent with certain friends. And I sort of tell people, I was like, you're not going to go and be a blabbermouth to everybody and tell them all your secrets and everything to everybody. You're going to find these special people in your life that have the best interest that got set up before you were born to be in your life. And you'll be able to tell those things. And those people will never look down on you, no matter what. There will be some upsetting, but they will never look down on you. And that's one of my things is one of my friends is telling me something and I start looking down on him or saying, oh, how stupid, or you shouldn't be doing that, you know, like, you know, feelings of arrogance. I'm like, hey, never mind, we got to pray over this because, you know, I'm no better than you, I'm worst, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, thanks for that, man. I appreciate that. I, you know, I just hope that listeners and especially men, we, you know, we were raised to be, in my case I can tell you, it was raised to be a macho, not a man. You know, machos don't share, you know, machos don't cry, machos live their lives and, you know, they sweep everything under the rug and, you know, next thing you know, they die of a heart attack because they've been holding so much bitterness and anger. So, yeah, not we're not going to do that. So I want the audience to get plugged into your podcast and anything else you're doing that you would love to share. So why don't you tell us more about your podcast? Where can they listen? How often you post episodes? What's the story behind? Anything you want to share about your podcast, this is your moment, please.
Well, I appreciate it, man. Well, like I said before, I have a podcast that I just started in 2020 around September called the Paradigm Switch Podcast. And behind that was... for a while I've been feeling that in talking with fellow Christians, both inside my church and outside my church, that in just other things I've read, there lacks sometimes a connection between scriptures and understanding the spirit kind of behind the scriptures. And so what me and my co-host want to do is elaborate on different scriptures, and not only just on scriptures, understanding things that are happening in our culture and actually address those issues. One of the episodes we did was on witchcraft, and we kind of broke down the purpose, like what is witchcraft and why does God not like it, and what are the appearances of witchcraft and how to stay away from that. Because I just remember in church they would just say, you know, don't do witchcraft. Well, you know, witchcraft comes in various shapes and sizes, so I need to know how to judge it when it is witchcraft. And so my podcast is looking to equip believers with the knowledge to engage into the culture and not be so on the outs and say, well, that's just another issue that the church doesn't deal with. No, God wants us to be engaged in the culture. So we want to just touch on those taboo topics and touch on those topics that nobody wants to talk about and say, like, God's word actually addresses this and this is what it says. So you can catch it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. It's all out there. Like, you can follow us on Instagram to get the latest updates. Our season 2 is going to drop in a couple weeks, so we're super excited about that. So if you follow us on Instagram, you'll get the exact date and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, not to toot on my own horn, but we got an awesome topic coming up for the theme of the first half of season 2 that I think a lot of believers are going to be encouraged by and understand, because the topic we're going to talk about is talked about heavily in society. I don't want to spoil anything, but I just really just want to share knowledge with the fellow believers so that we're all knowledgeable of the Word of God. That's my heart's desire.
Awesome. Thank you for that. And if you send me some links, I'll put them up on the description of the episode. So when people click on it, you know, we're pretty much on every platform. They can find you guys and find you on social media and follow you and get the latest news. So cool. You guys are on season 2. And I'm glad you give us a nice cliffhanger so people can tune in and be like, what is he talking about? You know.
Well, you do the same as well. You know, we're brothers in Christ and we'll help each other out. You do the same as well.
We'll do, my brother. So, you know, what is one last thought you want to leave behind? What is the Holy Spirit telling you? Hey, please say this. There's someone out there needs to hear this. What do you want to share with us?
Because it was actually something I was thinking yesterday and I'll share it. God has designed everyone in life to win. And, you know, sometimes you hear from other people that there always has to be a winner and a loser. Not in God's perfect world. God has designed life that everybody can win. And it is totally possible. As you surrender more to Him and learn more of His word and operate in His way, you can win too. In fulfilling your purpose in life, you can win too. So I'm a heavy believer that every believer in Christ is designed and purposed to win in life. You don't have to be a loser. You don't have to be under. Everyone can win. And that was something that hit me yesterday. Everyone can win.
It's Ephesians, right? I love that verse because that was a verse that showed me love. 2:10, I think. We're His workmanship, created for good works, intended from the beginning as we were conceived. In those words, that's not exactly. I'm misquoting it here, but how amazing, right? It's. Mm-hmm. I think we view success as secular success. Mansions, cars, Lamborghinis, Bugattis, you know, and some may have that, some may not. But how beautiful is to see some people in different classes just happy.
Yes.
You know, content. And that's one of the struggles that I'm working towards, you know, to just be content with what I have, you know, because someone else has less than me and they're happy, you know, joyful.
And I was going to say, sorry to cut you off. I told you, you gotta tell me to stop.
No worries.
I just keep going. Because I think, like you said, you know, secular version of winning in life is having the cars and the mansions and all those kind of things. But if you look at scriptures, winning is fulfilling your God-given purpose. And that looks in many different ways. You know, Job's God-given purpose is he had, you know, even though he went through trial, he had the luxury life of, you know, riches and, you know, a lot of children and a lot of cattle and stuff. But John the Baptist, his purpose in life was to talk about Christ, and he ended up, you know, being martyred, you know, for God. So don't judge your purpose in winning based on, you know, secular success of popularity, mansions, clothes, all this stuff. No, you should be asking, am I fulfilling the purpose that God has designed for me? That's winning in life. And that's what I'm seeking after. You know, whether it's popular, whether I have all these secular things, that's nice and good. But I just want to make sure I fully pour out everything that God has designed and willed for me to do while I'm here on planet Earth. That's winning to me, that I did everything. Like Paul said, I gave him my all. I fought the fight of faith. I gave him my all. I finished my course. That's the same kind of finish I want to have at the end of my life.
Yeah, amen. You know, like you and I have the same personality. We can keep going and going and going. there's this movie, and a friend of mine was telling me about it, and I caught half of it. And it was kind of boring, but anyways, to me, you know, I love a little action. But it was about this guy that climbs mountains. And he wants to climb the tallest mountain on Earth. So he trains every day. That's all he does, sleep, eat, consume. That's his life, climbing mountains, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it was Everest. I don't remember. Don't quote me. I don't know anything about mountains. You know, I'm, whoever, if there's a listener out there correcting me, please correct me. Send me a message, email, whatever it is. Yeah. But anyways, he finally gets to that moment where he's going to climb the mountain. He climbs it so easily because he's trained, right? He's top of the list of climbers. Gets to the top. They interview him, and he's disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, okay, yeah, you know, I did it. Like, that's it. And my friend was telling me, he's like, what a message, right?
Yeah.
He was after a secular success. And when he got it, it wasn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, but if we do God's will, there is a sense of good accomplishment, you know, holy accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, cool. That was good.
You fulfilled your God-given purpose. Right? And that's a good point in that movie, that he wasted all that time and all that energy. And then when he finally got what he wanted, it really wasn't what his heart wanted.
No, there was that still that empty void in him that he couldn't fulfill with anything earthly. And, mm-hmm. and yeah, it, I mean, I'm not saying it's not bad for us to pursue a goal, but if you make that your life goal, mm-hmm. you're always going to come in short. And that's one of my things that I'm struggling with, you know, to not make everything a personal goal, to make it his goal.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could have woken up today and said hi to somebody, a random person, you know, that was about to go end their life because no one cared about them, but you said hi to them.
Yeah.
And that was it. God said, cool, you're done. That's all I wanted you to do today. Example, mm-hmm. you know. That's all you needed to do.
Exactly.
Behave.
Whatever his purpose is.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That's a good note to end, my brother. I appreciate all the time. I think that, you know, we had an amazing interview. I thank you for waiting for all the technical issues, and then all of a sudden it worked. So I knew this was going to be an amazing interview because of that.
Well, thank you, man. Thanks for inviting me. I enjoyed it.
The last thing I want to ask of you, if you don't mind, is closing us out in prayer, please.
Okay. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity from my brother Pablo here to interview me so that we can just discuss your word and discuss to encourage our fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. We ask that as we enter into this new year that you cover us and that you encourage us to keep moving forward. We ask that the discussions and the themes and the topics that we discuss in this podcast will touch people's heart, that they might grow and that they might be encouraged to keep moving forward. We ask that you bless this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And once again, thank you so much for joining us. I pray that your continued success with your podcast, that, you know, continue to share the gospel and the word of God. You know, it's such amazing work that you guys are doing. I enjoy it. Can't wait for season 3. And if you guys are interested in listening, just click one of the links on the episode description.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, man. Have a good one.
Well, what an ending to an interview, right? Thank you so much for listening, for tuning in. Don't forget to share this on Instagram. Don't forget to share this on Facebook or any social platform. And you know what? We will love your comments and reviews. If there's anything you want us to change or add, or if you want to be interviewed, please let us know. Thank you so much. We're at any social media under Bench in the Kitchen. Thank you so much.